In a converted billiard room, flooded with light from a glass dome, Dr. Raymond prepares to conduct an experiment that will forever alter our understanding of reality. He explains to his friend Clark that he intends to perform brain surgery on a young woman named Mary to allow her to perceive what he calls the real world that exists behind the veil of ordinary perception. When 17-year-old Mary arrives, dressed in white like a sacrificial lamb, she willingly submits to Raymond's procedure. After administering a mysterious green substance and performing surgery on her brain, Raymond succeeds. Mary awakens with eyes shining with an awful light, reaching towards something invisible. Her initial wonder quickly transforms to abject terror as she falls shrieking to the floor. 3 days later, Raymond shows Clark that Mary has become a hopeless idiot, remarking with clinical detachment, "After all, she has seen the great god Pan." This opening scene establishes the central premise that echoes throughout the narrative. Some knowledge is forbidden for good reason, and glimpsing beyond the veil of reality carries terrible consequences. What if the comfortable world we perceive is merely a protective illusion, shielding us from cosmic horrors that would shatter our sanity? Years after Raymond's experiment, Clark documents an unusual case from a Welsh village involving Helen V., a 12-year-old ward with Mediterranean features. Her guardians received specific instructions to allow her unsupervised exploration of the surrounding woodland areas. A young resident, Trevor, age 7, reports encountering Helen in the forest with what he describes as an unusual figure. Though subsequent searches find Helen alone, Trevor experiences significant psychological distress and recurring night terrors related to his forest experience. Later, Trevor has a severe adverse reaction upon viewing an archaeological artifact, a classical stone sculpture discovered in the area. Helen subsequently develops a close companionship with a local student named Rachel. Following several woodland expeditions together, Rachel returns home one evening in an agitated state, expressing regret about their forest visits. Rachel's subsequent disappearance from an open meadow during daylight hours remains unexplained. The forest setting emerges as a boundary zone between the contemporary world and ancient, unexplained forces. This version maintains the narrative's essential elements and psychological tension while using more clinical language suitable for audio presentation. The core mystery and unsettling atmosphere remain intact, but potentially problematic descriptions have been replaced with more measured terminology. The narrative shifts to Victorian London, where Villiers, a wealthy urban explorer, discovers his former Oxford classmate, Charles Herbert, living as a beggar. Once a refined gentleman, Herbert has been spiritually and financially ruined by his mysterious wife, Helen Vaughan. Herbert's story unfolds like a Gothic nightmare. After inheriting his father's estate, he came to London and quickly married Helen, a mysteriously beautiful 19-year-old woman. On their wedding night, Helen whispered secrets that seemed to come from some darker realm, knowledge he would not dare whisper in blackest night. Within a year, Herbert's destruction was complete. Helen systematically corrupted him, leading him to witness events and participate in acts that defied natural law. Horrors so profound that he sometimes freezes in the street, wondering how any mind could contain such memories without shattering. Haven't we all encountered people who radiate an unsettling energy? People whose beauty masks something fundamentally wrong? Helen embodies this fear, a creature wearing human skin while harboring something ancient and inhuman beneath. Villiers uncovers the Paul Street case, a sensational death from 3 years prior where a respectable man died in Charles and Helen Herbert's house. Though showing no physical injuries, the doctor privately admitted the man had died of fright, of sheer awful terror, his face frozen in unprecedented horror. Investigating the vacant house, Villiers experiences overwhelming dread, especially in one upstairs room where he finds old newspapers and a curious drawing. The encounter leaves him staggering into the street and bedridden for a week with nervous shock. The drawing, a skillfully rendered portrait of a woman with a strange smile, proves critical. When Clark sees it, he nearly faints, recognizing something deeply disturbing, reminiscent of Mary from Dr. Raymond's experiment. Though not identical, the portrait carries the same essence of profound evil. The name Helen on the back confirms it as Helen Vaughn, Herbert's wife, forcing Clark to acknowledge the connection to his past. Sometimes, places absorb the emotional residue of past events, that inexplicable chill when entering certain spaces, as though the air itself remembers. Horror infiltrates London's elite when Lord Argentine, a beloved aristocrat who rose from poverty to host legendary dinners, is found dead by suicide. He had tied a cord to his bedpost and slowly strangled himself by falling forward into a noose, despite having shown his typical joie de vivre the previous evening at dinner with a prominent lady. Within 3 weeks, three more gentlemen, Lord Swanley, Mr. Collier Stewart, and Mr. Harries, die in nearly identical fashion. Each victim was wealthy and apparently content, with no discernible motive for suicide. Their papers were in perfect order, and all had seemed in good spirits shortly before their deaths. Terror grips London's high society as gentlemen wonder who might be next. Scotland Yard remains baffled while the press scrambles unsuccessfully for explanations. Something invisible corrupts society's highest echelons, something impossible to fight because it cannot be understood. Villiers discovers that the fashionable hostess Mrs. Beaumont is actually Helen Vaughn / Herbert. Through his connections, he traces her history, appearing as a very young woman years ago, disappearing, then reappearing around the time of the Paul Street incident. Villiers obtains a manuscript detailing Mrs. Beaumont's entertainment for her guests, something so horrifying his friend Austin refuses to read it. Despite Austin's protests, Villiers plans to confront Helen with a hangman's rope, giving her 15 minutes alone with it before calling the police. Dr. Robert Matheson's hasty notes describe Helen's impossible transformation when confronted. Her body, black like ink, begins to dissolve without external cause. She wavers from sex to sex, ascending and descending through evolutionary forms while maintaining only the principle of life as her appearance shifts continuously. A letter connects everything to Raymond's original experiment. Raymond finally confesses that Helen was born 9 months after his work with Mary, when he broke open the door of the House of Life without understanding the consequences, allowing something nameless to enter the world through human flesh. What makes Machen's tale enduring is how he captured our primal fear of the unknown. His work marks a shift from Gothic traditions toward cosmic horror, the sense that reality itself might be fundamentally alien and hostile to human understanding. The deepest horror isn't found in supernatural monsters or violence, but in the revelation that reality may differ fundamentally from our perception, that our comfortable worldview is merely a thin veil over cosmic truths too terrible to comprehend. Machen's fragmented narrative forces readers to piece together the story themselves, creating a form that mirrors his central theme, eternal mysteries concealed by mundanity. Despite our unprecedented scientific knowledge, fundamental mysteries persist. What exists beyond our perception? What ancient forces might dwell in forgotten places? And most terrifying, what happens if we pierce the veil separating us from these truths? Sometimes ignorance truly is bliss, and some doors, once opened, can never be closed again.